The topic I want to talk about today, I remember, Mike, it was your first time visiting. And I start talking, and you see people's reactions, you see people's faces, and I'm wondering, is this guy going to deck me when I'm done? Or is he confused, or is he mad? I'm glad you didn't deck me. The topic today, we put our lessons on YouTube, and far and away the most popular message that I've ever put on YouTube is on the topic that we're going to speak about today. And the first one I did, I thought I came up with a very clever title, a very provocative title. The title of it was called "Jesus Wants You to Stop Tithing." And that, I've gotten so much wonderful responses from, and I've got the biggest pile of hate mail from that one message. And we're going to do a tract lesson today, and we're going to, I maybe got one or two more of these, and we'll be done with the tract lesson. A lot of this material in the tracts gets repetitive, so we'll move on to something else. But I thought we would be remiss if we went through the tracts and failed to hit one on the topic of tithing and money. And when I say something like, Jesus wants you to stop tithing, the first thing people think is, this guy doesn't want you giving money to church. Right. And that's wrong.
Oh.
Yes. It is right to support ministries that are worthy. It is right to support causes that are worthy. It's wrong to put yourself under the law and tithe. And another funny thing that I have realized from the hate mail that I get is when I say something like that, people think I need a dictionary, obviously. Because I say, Jesus wants you to stop tithing, and the first thing, and it's usually in all caps on the type, is, tithe means 10%. Okay, I know. Or sometimes they'll do it twice. Tithe is a tenth. Tithe means 10%. Okay, well, what about my argument? It's just funny. They apparently think I don't know what it means. But this tract that I have today has a boatload of information that's completely unknown to the vast majority of people. The vast majority of church-going people. It's completely unknown to the vast majority of pastors as well. My pastor growing up never knew anything about this. And it's funny, though, some pastors do see this information in the Bible, and they don't tell anybody about it. Why would you do that? So the title of the tract this week is not one, not two, not three, but 39 reasons you should stop tithing. 30, you only need one. We're not going to go through all of them today. Maybe just 34 or 35 of them. Kidding. The track starts off. It says, among pastors, there is a terrible abuse of using law tithing to place the church back under the condemnation of the law. This must be stopped.
Amen.
You think it will be? I told you to turn to Titus. Look over at Titus 1:11. Titus 1:11. Whose mouths must be stopped. That sounds a lot like shut up. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. Filthy lucre. Dirty money. Teaching things they shouldn't teach to get paid. How about don't bring a curse on our assembly by not tithing? You've never heard that? Yeah, Malachi 3. They'll ask you, in some assemblies, you can't be a member unless you turn in your tax returns. Because they don't take your word for it that you're tithing. You need to prove it. Now, I'm saying you should be giving to church, but you should not be giving according to a law tithe. I never heard anything like that until I was mid-20s. My whole life, it's you tithe, and then you give offerings. Baseline 10%, and then the extra bonus that we ask you for from time to time. And I hated giving money to church. I hated it. Now, you pull $20 out of your pocket, and you got a pretty girl with you at the movie theater. What's 20 bucks? You pull a $20 bill out of church, it's, this is so much money. But when I found out that Jesus wanted me to stop tithing, all of a sudden it was enjoyable to give money. That $20 became what it actually was. I'm supporting something out of free will. So it completely changed my mindset on giving. And most people don't know that there is a way where you can faithfully support ministries that you believe are operating according to God's will, and it has nothing to do with a law tithe. Most people don't know that. Now, the tract says, this resource, it answers the first question, you don't think you should give money to church? It says, this resource is not intended to dissuade giving generously to the Lord's causes. God loves generosity as a reflection of your thanksgiving to Him. Does Paul ever talk about thanksgiving? A couple times? Yeah. While Paul's doctrine teaches you to stop law tithing, where did Paul get his information from? The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Paul's doctrine teaches you to stop law tithing. God does not teach lesser generosity. And I always tell you, do not chain yourself down to a 10% limit. You are at liberty to give 20, 30. What's the one preacher gives 90%? You're whatever, 85. You're free. Joking. You know, you are told to provide for your own house first, are you not? That is the doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to Paul. So if you've done your budget, and after you pay all your bills, you're $12 in the hole, do you think God would want you to take 10% and give it to church when you're not even providing for your family? That's where the other members of the body of Christ are to step in and support you. You'll never hear that taught in church either. Okay. But one of the reasons I think that the message is so popular on the website, first reason, people don't want to give to church anyway. They're like me. $20 is really big at church. The other one, I think they're so sick of being browbeaten by preachers who drove in a Cadillac and you're in a Yugo. And they're yelling at you for more money. I think people are sick of that. Now, of course, that's a generalization. That's a stereotype. That's not true in all cases. But stereotypes are funny, and stereotypes work because stereotypes are generally true. But there is, I think I said the last time I talked on this, that there are some honest preachers who really believe that you should be giving according to the tithe. And to those two preachers, I apologize. But think about, you know, when we talk about giving in church, we almost think of giving as some kind of magical spiritual thing where things are going to happen in the ether, in the spiritual realm. But you need to think about giving to church the same way you think about giving when you go shop for a car. When you go shop for a car, what do? You find the one you want. You identify the one that's worthy of separating you from large amounts of your money. But what do? You find the car you want and you get the best one you can. You get the newest, you get the nicest, whatever you can afford. You budget it. You do the math. That's how our giving should be to the Lord's ministries. We identify one that's worthy or several, and we budget, we do the math, and we support them. Why? Are we expecting some magical thing to happen? No, you're funding souls saved and saints edified. We'll do budget, we'll do the math, we'll stretch our budgets, we'll do all this to get the new shiny thing we want, won't we? But why don't people do that with church? Why are they having to be put under a law tithe? You know why? Because we don't think eternally. We don't think about souls saved and saints edified as a shiny thing to be had. We don't. And we talked about, you know, eternity and what we have to look forward to in eternity. We don't think about that in the same way we think about our rides. So, what's employed to separate people from their money for church is the greed-guilt motivation. And those work. Give to get. You turn on TCT. If you sow a $100 seed into the ministry today, why, the Lord's going to open the storehouse and pour out His blessings on you. Greed. Or there's guilt. You're going to bring a curse on your family. You're going to bring a curse on your whole church if you don't give according to the law. Carrot and a stick. That's religion. What is religion? Doing things to gain God's favor or assuage God's wrath. Is God operating according to a religion today? He did in time past. Nation of Israel, the one religion in the world that God approved of. We don't have a religion today. We have a faith. Everything needed to gain God's favor or assuage God's wrath was accomplished at the old rugged cross. Amen. Now, with this tract, it's if someone has, if I can quote the Lord Jesus in His earthly ministry, if someone has ears to hear, it is tremendously easy to go through a few Bible verses and show them they should have no business being associated with a law tithe. Not hard at all. You could probably, you said you only need one, the average person, you could probably knock it out with the first four or five reasons. We've got 39. If I can make another stereotypical observation to you. If you're looking for someone who hath ears to hear, I would suggest that the last person who would have ears to hear would be a member of the paid pastoral staff of the church of your choice. They would be the last people that would say, "Would you look at that? Let's have a look here." Why is that? It's their job. Their income depends on money coming into that church. We're human. Would you be, if your house, your mortgage, your car, your kids' college was all financed by people giving 10% of their income to your church, would you have anything to do with something like this? You would not be inclined. Okay, you are holier than all of us are, then. But honestly, whether they believe it honestly, whether it's something that they just hold to and they've never studied out, they never thought about, or whether they know the truth but they don't want to let anybody else find out about it, Their job, their career is based on that money. Would any of you be open to embrace something that could ruin your career? No. We're human. So don't be too mad that you never heard anything taught like this. One of the reasons, one of the easy reasons to show somebody is on our offering box. You flip up the lid, you're not under the law, Romans 6:14. Where do you find the tithe? Under the law. Or you could, you know, you could go to a place like Deuteronomy 14. Did you know tithing? The only people that tithed were landowners in the nation Israel who had turned a profit. Did you ever hear that taught in church? If you own property and you have extra money this year, you made a profit, then you have to tithe. Everybody else, you're good. Don't worry about it. Never heard that taught in church. Or you could go to Leviticus 27. What are you doing bringing money in here? You should be bringing food. That's what should be tithed, food. If you want to turn it into money, you got to pay a 20% penalty. Did you ever hear that taught? No, but you heard, bring it into the storehouse. Yeah, the tithe is food. Leviticus 27:30. We don't have to turn there. What was that? Yeah. What about, I don't put myself under the law tithe because I'm strong in the faith. Let's look at that one, Galatians 4. Galatians 4, 9. Galatians 4, 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Do you know what the weak and beggarly elements are? The law. You are under grace in the dispensation of God's grace. Going back to the law is weak and beggarly to you. That's why I have no use for a law tithe. I'm in Christ. You ever heard someone teach that the church replaces the temple and the pastor replaces the priest? And just as they brought their tithes into the temple and gave them to the priest in time past, so now God's people have the church and the pastor is now the priest. You need to bring your tithes to the pastor? That's taught. What do you do with 1 Timothy 2:3? There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Well, your pastor just said that verse isn't true, because if he's the priest, he's mediating between God and you, isn't he? Problems. And there's lots of stuff like that in this tract. And by the way, I made extra copies, so I don't have the last one this week. Pastor can't be the priest, because in this dispensation there are no priests. There is only Christ, our head, the head of the body. And guess what? There is no temple in a place, in a building, because you are the temple of God, aren't you? Know ye not, 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? You can't go to church. You are the church. Finally, another in the easier reasons, Jesus wants you to stop tithing because he commanded you to. 2 Corinthians 9:7, you are prohibited from tithing. Why? Because Christ tells you, if you're saved, if you're a member of the body of Christ, that every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. A tithe is necessity. Tithe is tax. You don't tell the IRS, my heart's really not in it this year, IRS. I haven't really been happy with, you know, how the government's been spending my money, so I'm just not going to pay. How's that going to work out for you? Handcuffs. For God loveth a cheerful giver. So allowing a preacher or yourself to be put under a law tithe means that you don't understand maybe what God has dispensed. And you also don't understand your position in Christ, because you're at liberty. And Galatians 5:1 tells you to stand fast in your liberty, wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. So finally, the easy reasons. The next time you hear a preacher or a teacher tell you you're bringing a curse upon yourself, a curse upon their church, by not paying according to the law, tell them to shut up. Isn't that what Titus 1 said? Whose mouths must be stopped? You could say it a little bit more kindly than shut up. Your mouth must be stopped, sir. Your mouth must be stopped, ma'am. You're subverting whole houses for filthy lucre's sake. Now, one more. The most important thing, forget the money. The most important reason you should never allow somebody to bring you under a curse of the law. Turn over to Galatians 3. The most important reason you shouldn't let anybody put you under the law with your money has nothing to do with money. The most important reason is if you allow somebody to place you under the law, they are slandering what Christ accomplished for you. Look at Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So when you hear a guy telling you with his $1,000 suit that you're going to bring a curse on this church if you don't tithe, you're hearing him saying, what Jesus did on that cross wasn't good enough. That old rugged cross isn't done. That's what you're hearing him say. That gets me hot under the collar. Like I said, the ears-to-ear crowd, you show people verses, you know, you show them the first 20 of the 39 reasons you should stop tithing, and it's pretty easy to have them understand that. But you tell, that's the ears-to-ear crowd. What about the no-ears-to-hear? The no-ears-to-hear crowd, they can't risk having their income stream messed up. So they will go to another place, and this is what we're going to deal with mainly this week, is the last, 10, 15 reasons. Does anybody know of a place in your Bible where you can find tithing without the law? One, wouldn't that be great if we could hear some jerk like me talking about you're not under the law, but we can find tithing that's not under the law? Genesis 14, please. Genesis 14 and verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand, and he gave him tithes of all. Abram paid tithes to Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, before the law. And you think you're better than Father Abraham, and you don't have to do that? Ding, 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 ding. Win, win. So that takes us to verse 20, or reason 23 of 39 reasons to stop tithing. Abraham responded to a unique blessing by Melchizedek. The king brought bread and wine and blessed Abram first. Did you get blessed by Melchizedek this week? I hadn't seen him all week. But I want you to put an overarching thought in your mind, though. You have a one-time event in all of human history that we read about in Genesis 14. And from that one-time event in all of human history, the church teaches you that you owe them a 10% tax on every dime you make for the rest of your life in perpetuity. Because of a one-time event in all of human history. Keep that in your mind. You did not receive the blessing from Melchizedek, nor were your enemies delivered into thine hand. Anybody have a battle this week? War, battle? Did your enemies get delivered into your hand? You killed all the bad guys and took all their stuff? Oh. Well, that's what happened with Abram here. Did a priest bring bread and wine to your home and bless you first? Okay. He came to your house and says, "Isn't grace amazing? Now let's collect the tithes." Number 24. Abram, he was still Abram at the time. Abram tithed only of all the spoils. He did not tithe of his income. You know what spoils of war? They come at you with chariots and swords. You kill them. Now they're your chariots and swords. Now all their food and all their horses are your food and horses. It's the spoils. Abram gave Melchizedek a tithe of other people's stuff. Not his stuff. Nobody ever notices that. Preacher didn't tell you to pay a tithe on your battle booty. Booty. It's not the current use of the word, but before the internet, it used to be like spoils of war. Number 25. It was a one-time tithe. Abram had a battle, took other people's stuff, gave 10% of other people's stuff to Melchizedek, never gave another tithe ever. Did you ever hear that taught?
What the Lord wants you to do today, brethren and sistren, give 10% one time, never give us any more money. Amen, amen, amen. No, you never hear that talk.
But that's... Do you see how, if you've decided what the agenda is ahead of time, if you decided what you want to teach beforehand, you're going to go somewhere in your Bible and find it. What about picky? Number 26. There is no command to follow Abram's pattern. Picky. I've got commands to follow Paul's pattern. No command to follow Abram's pattern. Number 27. Melchizedek's tithe was not a Jewish law tithe that is not subject to the same tithing laws. That's just turning the argument back around on the person who you showed him you're not on the law. They go to Melchizedek. Well, it's not under the same laws. You can't put me under that law if I'm not under the law when you went to find a tithe outside the law. Ha ha, fooled you. Number 28. Melchizedek was a king and a priest. There are no priests and kings in the body of Christ. We are all members one of another. Christ is our head. We, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. The tract is not Bible, people. Number 35. Christ is not collecting tithes. Now this one, you have to be a bit dispensational for this one. Yeah? When you look at the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews is similar to Romans. Romans explains what Christ accomplished at the cross for the church, the body of Christ, largely. Hebrews explains the cross to Israel, to prophetic Israel. And it talks about Christ's high priestly work, going in offering his blood one time to buy Israel's New Testament. You can't have a New Testament without the death of the testator, obviously. But even if you are not dispensational, even if you try to make you New Testament Israel instead of the body of Christ, Christ's high priestly work is done. He entered in one time to the holy place. But if you're not dispensational and you don't get that one, look at number 36 in the tract. Hebrews 8:10. Number 36, the new covenant was for the Methodists and the Presbyterians. No, it's right there somewhere. The new covenant was with the same people that got the old covenant. The house of Israel and Judah. Hebrews 8:10, quoting Jeremiah 31:31. This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. I will write them into your hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall fire all the preachers in verse 11. They shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. What does Ephesians 2 say about us? Are we part of Israel's covenants? You who were strangers and enemies, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, how are we made nigh? By going under the law. By becoming part of the covenant people. We are made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes. I was just quoting the verse, though. You, Ephesians 1:13, you hear the gospel of your salvation, you believe it and trust it, and you are sealed. What about number 37? Now you know how long I'm going to keep going. Number 37, our head is Christ, and our pattern is, well, the tract has a typo here. It says our pattern is Pu'al. Got the U and the A mixed up in Paul. Our head is Christ and our pattern is Paul, who did not tithe to a local church. Scandalous. Look over at 2 Corinthians 12 real quick. Now it's true that Paul collected money. Paul passed money from one assembly to another. He received gifts from people, from different churches. That's all true. But look at 2 Corinthians 12. Verse 12. truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Who should be the one collecting tithes, according to that verse? Well, I got an apostle that can do signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Wouldn't that be the good recipient to say, all right, come on, pay up, guys. I just healed half the town. Come on. Give me the tithe. Let's keep reading. For what is it wherein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome unto you? Forgive me this thing. Not burdensome. He's not sucking resources out of them. He's not being burdensome to them. Behold, the third time I am ready to come unto you, and I will not be burdensome unto you, for I seek not yours, but you. Did you ever see that on TCT? I know I keep saying TCT. That's the one that comes in on my cable channel. I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. So the apostle, the person who was made the pattern for those who would hereafter believe unto life everlasting for this dispensation, he comes in saying, I'm not going to suck anything out of you guys, and I'm going to spend money on you. Not a tithe, a choice, free will. And then he says, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Why, that would be a great pattern, wouldn't it? Somebody who says, you know what, we're at liberty in Christ, you're not under the law, and I'm going to lead the way by spending on you. Not of necessity, but out of a free will. For God loveth a cheerful giver. Number 38, we're almost done. You are the body of Christ. Our complete position, it says, our complete position in Christ precludes us from an obligated tithe to another member of the body. If we're all members one of another, if we're equal, if Christ is all our head, wouldn't it be wrong for somebody to tell you, you owe me money? I demand you pay me. He's taken a position that's not his, hasn't he? If we're all members one of another, Christ is our head, that means, oh, look at this, we're all on the same level. One member doesn't owe another member anything. Number 38 and a half? No. Number 39. I'm not done yet. You know what it means when the preacher says amen? Nothing. He can still go on for an hour after that. Number 39. Giving as you purpose in your heart is far greater than giving out of necessity. 2 Corinthians 9:7. How, if you don't understand that, how did you feel on April 15th when you got done writing the check to the IRS? It's what? This is great. This is wonderful. You didn't feel that way, did you? Compare that to how you felt when you saw somebody that was having a really rough time, a rough patch, and you knew they were hurting, and you wrote a check and helped them out. Feels a little bit different, right? That's necessity versus free will and liberty. That's the contrast. It's the difference between law and grace. And it's why $20 started looking like what it was to me. Because when you have that heart of free will, of brother, sister, I love what you're doing here. Let me get behind this. Let me support this. That's the change. And that's how members one of another in the body of Christ should be giving. Not of necessity, not of law, but of free will. And thanksgiving. Wow, I'm really grateful the Lord saved my miserable soul from the hell I so richly deserve. Why don't I buy some tracks? Wow, I'm so grateful that I'm going to be seated in heavenly places for all eternity, glorifying Christ, and I can't do anything to make that not happen anymore. I'm sealed in Christ. I'm thankful for that. Let's support the church that told me that. It's a different motivator. You don't need any greed or guilt when you understand liberty and grace. Those are much more powerful motivators too. Liberty and grace, when you understand it and embrace it and it gets out of your head and gets into your heart, it moves you. It changes you. So that is some of the 39 reasons you should stop tithing. Anyone have any thoughts on that?